All right, we're doing a testimony Sunday, and it's actually one of the things that I haven't emceed one of these, so we'll see how I do. You guys can rate me afterwards. That's totally fine. So there's three things though in our testimony, the ABCs of sharing testimony. Does anybody remember what A is? Appropriate. Okay, that it's about you. It's not about your Uncle Tom somewhere else. We're glad for what God is doing in Uncle Tom, but we want to hear something about what God is doing in your life. Brief. Good. Excellent. Wow, you guys are really good. And then C, I will not define brief. It's like Jesus saying soon. Well, you know, the briefer it is, the more people have a chance to share. But you know what? We got a little bit of flexibility there. So, and what's C? Yes, very good. Christ-centered. Yeah, that it's, how is Jesus being glorified in your life? What is God doing in your life? So that's great. So who wants to kick it off? I'm going to put a shout out that there's no pressure. But last weekend we had a men's retreat. So if somebody does want to testify about that, that would be great. But you don't have to. Zoli, I see that hand. Come on up. Absolutely. Now, we did in the past, I was like, I wasn't emceeing it, but somebody, this was years ago, somebody went really long, and Martin was leader on deck. And it was going so long that he was there, and he stood up. That was a sign for the person to finish up. I don't think I'm going to need to do that today, but he did it, so, well, but I know you won't be too long. Go ahead.
Okay. Morning, church. Morning. The reason I'm here this morning is, I don't know if some of you know, a couple months ago, I had a really serious cycling accident on my way to work. And in that accident, I won't go into the details, but in the accident, I fractured four ribs. And it's the first time I've ever broken bones in my body. But, you know, it was a real opportunity for me to testify to God's goodness and just how we are truly, fearfully, and wonderfully made. You know, I went back to work on my third week. You know, everyone was quite surprised, but it was a testimony to God's goodness in my life. And, you know, the thing I did the first week was lots of prayer, lots and lots of prayer, which I was thankful for. And I was also thankful for the good advice of a good friend in my small group, Heather, who is a retired nurse who gave me the exact things that I needed to do. So thank you, Heather. Just a shout out to you. But the thing that I really was amazed, I mean, I think those of you who have a medical background will probably be more know about the technical details. It's just really amazing how bones that are, like, I can show you the x-ray, but I got it on my phone, but I can't show it up there. Anyways. You know, the four, there was two that were like that, and then there was two that were clearly fractured and broken, like they were definitely apart. And I kind of researched a little bit online and did my, you know, whatever you can do, if you can call it research online, right? And found out, you know, it's just amazing how bones come together, right? You know, they're kind of like this, and then they kind of find each other, and then they start to build some kind of, I think it's a blood clot, and then that clot hardens, and then, you know, a few weeks later, you know, they're back together again. And I really saw that as a metaphor for so many things in our lives. I saw that as a metaphor for especially in our relationships, our relationship with God. You know, and I was really inspired by the men's retreat with what Jeff said about we have our relationship with God, but then we also have our communion with God. And I think, you know, sometimes our communion with God is broken. And, but like my ribs, they weren't expelled from my body. They were still part of my body. And they were still there. And it worked, you know, the body just worked together to bring them back together again, right? So in the same way that if you feel that your communion with the Lord is not where it should be encouraged. You know, God will send out his little feelers to you. right? He's not going to let you go. He's going to send out his little feelers to you. And if you respond, you can get closer, right? And then next thing you know, that your communion with him is so much more than it, so much more solid than it used to be, right? And so that's what I wanted to share, is just that it my fractured ribs just taught me a lesson about being close in relationship with God, and you know, in other relationships, like, you know, like you're, if you have a fractured relationship with somebody, you know, you're still in relationship with them, but you know, you just start to send out little feelers, then you start to send out bigger feelers, and then next thing you know, you're laughing together. Next thing you know, you're kind of, well, if you take responsibility, you say you're sorry. You know, hopefully I forgive you. I'm sorry. I forgive you. You know, et cetera, et cetera. And then the relationship can be restored. But it was just a really good picture for me. And I hope that helped somebody here today. Thank you for listening. Yeah, sure. Yes, sure. Lord, we thank you for our bodies that are truly fearfully and wonderfully made. We know much, but we know there's so much more that we don't know. And in the same way, Lord, we know how you love us and how you care for us. And Lord, I pray that each one of us would seek out communion with you. Lord, that we know that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you won't expel us, but that you'll draw us closer. And Lord, that we will be sensitive to those little feelers that you send out towards us to tell us that you love us. And Lord, that we would respond in kind and love you back. So Lord, thank you that you do love us, that you do care for us, and that you are working in our lives. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, Dixon Nguyen. Good morning. My name is Mary Jane Jo. For some of you who don't know me, I'm a residential school survivor, and I come from the Joyaska Indian Reserve near Merritt, BC. I've been attending this church now for 32 years, so this is my home church. So I just want to share a vision I had 2 weeks ago while Wes was leading us in worship. I don't often have visions and dreams, but I thought today I need to share this and bless everyone and bless. I just want to say thanks to all the worship leaders, because we come here to be ushered into the throne room of God. And I experience that. Sometimes I'm in tears. The worship is so tender, and it's so beautiful. It just sets me up for the work ahead, you know, the next day being out on the job and that. So on 2 weeks ago, I forget the song that you were leading us in, Wes, but it was the first song. And I saw a vision. And having a vision is like someone putting a big picture in front of you. It's very clear. And so, I don't know if you could see this. It's a two-wheeled cart. And it's a three-sided box. And it had a whole bunch of green sprouts growing in it. And I thought, that's sort of all wrong. But anyway, because the cart was just balancing there. And later when I got home, I have that book by the pastors, written by two pastors, called Adrian Thompson and Adam Beale or something like that. So anyway, it's about prophetic visions, dreams, and everything, everyday life. So the wooden box was gray and weathered. It means old, and that means the old things are being passed away. And the new sprouts represent new growth, the planting of the Lord. And the wheels like in my vision, I was wondering, how does that box stay balanced? Because there's nothing holding it up. It's just balancing there on the wheels. And it represents God is holding that up, and the power will come from the Holy Spirit to move it forward. So that's what it meant to me. And the scripture that was associated with this, Isaiah 61, verse 11. As surely as seeds sprout and grow, the sovereign Lord will save his people, and all the nations will praise him. So thank you, worship leaders, and thank you, Wes. At this point, that's what came to me, and I want to make sure that I say thank you. And I lift my hands in thanks and respect. So I'll say a blessing in my language. O Lakupi, Creator, Father God, Shaya Dekhu'al, Ahinushtu, Akweshkwend, Aujunia Haksh, Inchuku Aksh, Hinushtu, Akweshkwend. Creator, High Chief, there are always two roads, two decisions. Show us which one to take. Do we go to the left? Do we go to the right? Show us the right one to take. Asqueste sisukri, bedela halkukbi, kukscham. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Thank you. Amen. Hope. Hope. Thank you.
Hi, my name's Paul, and I have a story to share. If you don't know me or we haven't met, I was in a car accident when I was 18 years old and left me comatose for a month and a half, and I had a severe brain injury, so I had brain damage. Had to relearn everything in my life, acted like a two-year-old at first. It's changed my life. It was very traumatic. And so that was like 11 years ago, and I've had to recover from that ever since. And it's been a long journey of healing and trusting God. And so God's called me into ministry. He saved my life, and I serve him because he saved me. And I've recently just taken a new role at work, and I'm super busy in all these things. And I've also reckoned with my emotional trauma, even from that car accident, which is interesting. I think we all kind of have emotional trauma. I'm lucky because I have something to point to like, but so you should probably deal with that. And a couple of weeks ago, we were here at church, and I had this amazing, amazing service on Sunday. Daniel preached on Ruth 3. It was a great sermon. And then afterwards, I responded for prayer, and I met with Kai. And Kai has an amazing prophetic gifting. And I asked her to pray for me that God would provide the things that he's promised me in his timing. And I was really kind of struggling in that moment. And she responded, and she prayed. And then partway through, she said, Paul, God has already given you the things he has promised you in Christ. Whew! Oh, man. So that was really good. And I was like walking away. And we had a potluck afterwards. And I'm going to use people's names. Crystal was there, and she was visiting. And there was a couple times where I'm like, oh, it's so good to be here in God's people, so that I'm not alone in my anxious spiral of thoughts, right? And it was kind of like an aside, like a little joke or whatever. And the second time, Crystal was like, hold on, what do you mean? Let's dig into it. What's going on? I was like, oh, okay. So I'm comfortable talking about my trauma. And we started talking about trauma, big, long discussion. Partway through, Cindy, who's at that table, talked about a missionary that she knew who had an injury when he was a child and had chronic pain since then. And it was this very redemptive story for him because he learned to hold his pain as a source of strength and healing for his ministry. And they had an outside missionary visit them, and he was like, can we pray for you? And he's like, oh, you know, I got this whole big story. And he like went off in this long discourse. And then at the end, he was like, so can I pray for you? And he was like, I guess so. And he was healed that day. What the heck, right? And so at the end of that story, the table looked at me and was like, so can we pray for you? I was like, oh, I guess so. It was amazing. I had four people, Cindy, Romaine, Crystal, and Jeff, pray long, deep, emotive prayers for me. For specifically, healing from my emotional trauma from my car accident. Like, I've never had, like, that specific. I've had so many people prayed for me, like, generally, oh, you know, your neurons reconnect or whatever. But this was so specific. And honestly, after that service, like, I feel like I'm walking in the healing of those prayers. Praise God. And yeah, I feel like this is something that God has given me to prepare me for the work that he's called me to this semester. So I just wanted to leave that testimony and say that God heals.
Let me just pray for you real quick, is that right? Yeah. Paul and I worked together at UCM for a while. I love this guy, so it'll be a more general prayer, though.
Okay.
Jesus, we give you thanks for Paul, and we rejoice in the work that you have done, that you are doing, and that you are continuing to bring healing to him, and we bless him in the name of Jesus at UBC as he works with students in UCM. Bless him in the work of his hands, Lord. Lord, you know how he holds his hands so open to you that he completely belongs to you, Jesus. And we pray, God, that you would continue to bless him, uphold him, minister to him. Thank you for the joy he brings. Protect him as well, Lord. Protect him at the campus, Lord, and let the ministry continue to be fruitful there, we pray in your name. Amen. Love you, man.
Thanks.
God bless you, yeah. Chloe, come on up.
Good morning, Redemption. I'm Chloe. I'm the eldest of the Trotter kids and have been here for about 16 years and have never actually shared testimony. So this is a new thing for me. As some of you know, I had the privilege of joining a team from my youth group at St. John's Vancouver to go to Nepal on a missions trip this past August for 17 days. And there's a lot I could share, but because I'm supposed to be brief, I'll focus on the part of God's heart that I feel was revealed to me during this time and how that's kind of altered some things in my own heart. In Nepal, everywhere I looked, it was really clear that the country was utterly broken. Physically, absolutely, because of poverty and the lack of health care, but most importantly, spiritually, because people have, for countless generations, only ever known their Hindu and Buddhist idols, and even if they have been searching for something deeper, there's really nowhere for them to look. But I believe that the one true living God is a God of freedom, and that he desires all his children to be freed from the generational curses and cycles of lies and idol worship that have been placed upon them without their choosing. So while I believe that he is perfectly just, I also believe, and I'm so thankful, that he is perfectly merciful. It was really hard for me to acknowledge the physical brokenness that surrounded me, but still hold that these people's most urgent and greatest need was Jesus. And that was also a challenge coming back to Vancouver, to acknowledge the physical wholeness, for the most part, of everyone around me, but then seek the Holy Spirit's guidance to see their spiritual brokenness, and then on top of that, to seek the humility to look at my own heart and see my own spiritual brokenness. So I think I'd like to encourage you all that God is still very much at work, and we saw miracles of healing, and those are wonderful. But miracles of the transformation of people's hearts after centuries of devotion to idols, I found to be so much more powerful. So continue to pray for the physical brokenness that you do see and the spiritual brokenness that you don't see. And ultimately that the Holy Spirit would work in people's lives and lead them to Christ. And also that you'd be open to being used by God personally in people's salvation stories. Do you want me to pray? Sure.
Great job. Yeah, Lord, we thank you for the work you're doing in Chloe and how you're touching her life. Jesus, we see how you are forming her, and through this trip that you're forming her in her heart. And we pray that you would continue to speak to her in the direction that you are leading her, especially as she has one more year after this year of school. And Lord, we pray that you would guide her into the future. And we thank you, Lord, that she has a tender heart before you, Lord. Continue to minister to her, bless her, and protect her as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Thanks. Okay, I'm going to allow the two more. So Scott and then Arnold, you'll finish us up, and then we'll continue on, okay?
Good morning, everyone. So some of you know that Monica and I were on a holiday a little while ago. Actually, we did the Camino, which is a pilgrimage in, Portugal and Spain. And we adopted for our trip Jeremiah 6:16 as a kind of a focus for how we were going to think about this pilgrimage that we were on. And Jeremiah 6:16 is, this is what the Lord says, Scott. Now, it doesn't say Scott in the scripture, but sometimes it's helpful to put our names in to make it more personal. So this is what the Lord says, Scott. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way lies and walk in it. And there your soul will find peace or rest. And I needed... We started the trip with very much a view of this being a pilgrimage for us. I had a number of things in my life that I needed to lay down that I'd been carrying for far too long, that weren't mine to carry in many cases, but yet they were constantly with me. And one of the things that has been a common theme with conversations I've been having with people for months now is they find themselves at decision points. They find themselves at crossroads. They're not quite sure how to proceed. And I have an allergy to the term discernment. I knew somebody at one point so told me that the word moist, they just couldn't, so that's how I feel about the word discernment. At least in my experience, being in the church my whole life, is oftentimes, not always, so hear me clearly, not always, but oftentimes, we use the term discernment as an approach to be able to justify not making a decision and prolonging the need to make an important decision in our life, or just a decision in our life. So this is an encouragement to you, as Mary Jane was saying, talking about, getting to, she didn't call it crossroads, but getting to kind of a decision point where there's a number of options. Crossroads isn't always one or two, like an option between two. Crossroads is often an option between many. Come to the crossroads and stop. Take a beat, ask for the wave, and then proceed. Life is about adventure. Life is about decisions. I promise you, we've just both turned 60. There are older people than us in this community, but most of you are considerably younger. And you can probably already look back on your life and see decisions that, oh, wow, that was an odd decision, or that went a different way than I expected. Your life is going to be full of those. So just an encouragement to be bold, be brave, take a beat, make a decision. Every decision that you make will provide a mission opportunity for you. Being in mission or being a missionary, formal kind of church ministry is important. If that's not your calling, or if your calling, or if your next, again, that word calling, if the next step in your life is outside of formal ministry, you are still moving in to a place of ministry. So it's just an encouragement it's kind of part of what the Lord's dealing with me in the different crossroads, kind of the next step in our lives and our life together and my life. So it's just an encouragement. Be bold and don't, you know, have the adventure. Make the decision. Meet interesting people. Make mistakes. Have success. And come around again and do it again.
Just going to pray for Scott real quick. Can I use the word calling and discernment in my prayer? Or,
not moist.
Not moist. Jesus, I want to thank you for the work that you are doing in Scott's life. And Lord, just bless, we bless the journey that is before him. And even as he talked about the multiple choices before him, we pray that you would give him the light to see where you are leading him. And that your peace would fill him. Let him walk in your peace, we pray in your name. Amen. Bless you, Scott. All right, Arnold, you're going to close us out? All right, good.
Do I have 40 minutes? 1 minute for each year I want to talk about. All right, thanks. As most of you already know, I completed my PhD recently. That's great, but that's not the story. So I got the program completion email on October 17. So it's done, no longer a student, which fills me with sadness. Just kidding. Anyway, so I thought I should just share. Often when I look back on my life, there's this song that says, I'm a living, walking testimony, something like that. That defines me. And I like to recount this because sometimes I feel like the reason I am here in this place and you can talk to me and all that is really to show you that God actually fulfills his promises. So I'm not here on my own. Like, I shouldn't be here, like, given the situation of my upbringing and everything, there's no direct correlation between that and where I am today. And I say that because, briefly, my dad died before I turned 1 year old. And so in our culture back then, my mom trying to raise two boys, very quickly she lost access to everything my dad had to move back to her mom's. And so you don't go from there, a life of poverty, like it was a struggle. She's writing a book and soon you'll be able to read about her story. And so there was no privilege at all in my upbringing. And so I look at that and there's no connection between not knowing where the next meal will come from in childhood and being in one of the top universities in the world and completing a program that just doesn't happen, except there's an external intervention. And that's really what my life has been about. And so before I sort of go into that a little more, I just want to be really thankful to God for the journey of the last 4+ years, bringing me into this community and into the InterVarsity community. I think this community and the InterVarsity grad student community have a really important part of my story over these last 4 years and made everything meaningful. I feel like I've built lifelong relationships and it's just great. And so I just wanted to draw attention to, there was an event in my childhood, I think I was about 6-7 years old, sitting in the front row in church. At that time, I knew we were struggling, like we didn't have any money in the bank account. Like, it was basically, my mom was working, but every time her salary got paid, she would pay off debts from the previous months, and then we'll start the cycle again. So, like, we never paid cash for anything. We always bought stuff, and then when her salary gets paid, all those people were owing, they get paid back, and then we start the cycle. Like, there was never a time where there was money saved up. And so, sitting in the front row in church, a Pentecostal church, and then one lady in the choir row just started to prophesy and mention my mom by name. And she was like, Margaret, don't worry, I know about you, I know about your two sons, I'll take care of them. And at that time it was like, well, thanks. But yeah, it didn't look like anything was happening. It didn't look like anything was happening. Like even after that prophecy, there was still struggles, like several wearing the same shoes for several years, and like it was just like, you get the picture, right? But then now looking back at that day, that event has stayed with me because like her name was specifically mentioned. And I look back at those years and I see, oh, it makes sense that this is the fulfillment. My whole life has been a fulfillment of that prophecy, because I wasn't a particularly bright student, to be honest, at any point. Like, but then I went to medical school and graduated, did my master's in England in one of the top public health universities, and completed that, and completed UBC. So on the face of it, you think, oh, he's a brilliant kid. But no, that's not correct. Or he's exceptionally hardworking. No, that's not correct. It's just a fulfillment of prophecy. That's the way I see it. So if you're ever doubting that God actually still gives prophecy and lives it up and fulfills it, this is me. Like, come talk to me. Seriously. I am a fulfillment of prophecy. Now, nothing in my effort, not how hard I studied or the right decisions I made, because I made some really poor decisions. Like, and then even being married to someone like us, it shouldn't have happened, given my background and everything. And it's just, I can go on and on, but I feel like you're starting to get the picture that people like me, like I'm standing here and talking to you today, just so you know that if you had any doubt, there's a God and he fulfills his promises. Praise God.
The verse, which I'm paraphrasing, that came to mind is that no eye has seen and no heart prepared, that what the Lord has prepared for us, right? We cannot see, and that's an amazing testimony. Thank you so much. So before we go back to a time of worship, musical worship, we have to do one of those things that is like bittersweet. We have to say bye to somebody because they're moving on. So I'm going to ask MM and Ugo if they can come up. They've been part of our congregation, a couple years now. And they've opted to let Corazon, their daughter, stay in Sunday school. But so just a couple things. MM, share a little bit about yourself and why you're leaving us. No, kidding. where God is bringing you. And Ugo, if you want to share something. So we got a couple minutes, okay?
Yeah. Hi, church. Sorry, I lost my voice. I had cold this week. My name is MM Ngugo. We've been here since 2022, January, and then we started attending the church in August 2022. We're very grateful. We're moving to White Rock, and we got a place there, and then we're starting our lives all over again. We're so happy that we found this community. It's been such a blessing, and we're very grateful to move into another season of our journey. And we just want to say thank you, Jesus. Give him all the praise for all the trials and temptation that we went through. And I'll allow my husband to share the testimony. Thank you. Well,
there's just too many things to count, but just running down, it sounds like standard fare for being someone in Christ Jesus. God healed us and our children, well, our daughter and myself when we were sick. He's protected us, saved us from many disasters, potential disasters. He provided for all our needs, kept us in faith in bringing our tithes and offerings and pledges. When we're almost out of money, he blessed our grades when we're in UBC, kind of similar to Arnold's story. We were in financial distress almost at one point, but he delivered us and honored us. He blessed our application for permanent residence with good success, right on time that we didn't consume our house deposit because we were almost eating into that to the point we couldn't pay for a new home. And he's blessed us with a new home now. So we thank God for everything. We give him all the glory. And our prayer, because this is a beautiful familial church, it's been a blessing to be here. We can see the church growing in knowledge of God. It's seeds of revival sprouting everywhere, just like was shared earlier. And I just pray that the Lord will be with all of us and our children in every time of trouble and deliver and honor us and satisfy us with long life and show us his salvation. Amen. And the Lord will cause all our children to be taught of him and have great peace. Amen. And God will cause us all to be courageous, fruitful, and faithful ministers of Christ and of his gospel until his return. In Jesus' holy name, amen.
I just have one thing to add. While I was sitting over there, and this came to me, and it says, relocation and immigrating isn't only about survival, but for God's kingdom to be established through us daily. We're not here because we just want to get by, successful, get a home, get a good job, and be happy. We're here to fulfill the kingdom of God. We're here to be passionate about winning souls every day, everywhere. By we'll make mistakes, we'll hurt people, we'll be offended of people, we'll have to heal, forgive, and grow, and continue the journey. Soul winning has to be something that we're very passionate about in the most little ways, in our community, everywhere you find yourself. You might not be called to a fivefold ministry, but you're called in that organization to be the light of Christ. And so when you're the new immigrant, wherever you find yourself, truly be the light and be sincere. You're going to hurt people as well, so be genuine and humble to ask for forgiveness and continue your journey. It's a unique journey for everyone. Everyone has a different story, different journey. But one thing binds us all together, that we are fulfilling God's divine purpose for our lives. We should be encouraged that God, who started this journey with every one of us, he will complete it unto the appearance of Christ. God bless you all.
Let's just pray for you real quick. You can stretch out your hand if you like. Jesus, we want to thank you for Ugo and MM and Corazon and the blessing that they are. And Lord, as they are being sent out into White Rock, Lord, we pray that the vision you have for them in that place would become clear and clear. Bless them, protect them, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Wes, you want to come on up? Yeah. So I know others have testimonies. Maybe next time we do testimony. So that was a great time to hear from people. So we'll have a little time of worship, and then we will close out, and there'll be some ministry time, and we'll get ready for the potluck and the AGM.